Man, isn't this just the season? How many of you are joyful? Oh boy, the rest of you, we need some prayers, man. Yeah, man, this is a wonderful time, and we get filled with joy. And you know, me and my wife, we had some children for a week, and it was three young girls, and man, the house was full of laughter and joy. The sink was full of cups and dishes, and it was so wonderful. Last night we were sitting down, and it's like, wow, it's so quiet here, because they went home Thursday night. So it's like, wow, it's so quiet here. So yeah, it's just us two and the TV. And it was like, oh, we missed them already. Children are so wonderful. They fill us with so much joy and so much laughter. And we always hope and pray that our children will grow up and be good citizens. And when they do grow up and become good citizens, man, we miss them. But God is good. He always provides another way. So my children are grown up, so he let me borrow some children for a week, which is great. You know, in life, I like new things. You know, when I get a new fishing pole, it stays in my bedroom for a few months, you know. It does. In fact, I still got some fishing poles in my bedroom. Sometimes I get a brand new saw. Man, and that thing is so nice. It stays in the house for a few months. And, you know, it's kind of like, yeah, this is my new toy. And, you know, too bad, you know, when you get a new car, it's kind of hard to bring that in the house. But I haven't had one of those in years. But, you know, we all like new things. And I think God is smiling when he sees us with new things, as long as we don't worship these things. You know, like we put these new things before God. And when we get new bags or new toys, new fishing stuff, I think it fills us for a little while. But I think after the newness wears off, then back to the garage, the fishing poles, the saws, and we look for something else to take its place. But I really believe that nothing can take the place of God. No matter how many nice things you have, it cannot replace God. There's a story in the Bible of a lady whose husband, a man who served God, he died. And he left his wife with no insurance, a lot of bills, two young children. And back when these things were happening, this is what would happen. These two young boys would be sold into slavery so that she could pay the bills. And she was a widow, no way of finding work, and she was kind of like looking into the future that was very grim. She had one last option. She was going to see that minister that her husband served with and hoping that maybe he could help. And we pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 to 7. Now, a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophet cried out to Elisha, "Your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord. And the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves." Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house?" And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil." Then he said to her, "Go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels. Do not get a few. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you, you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So she went from him and shut the door behind her, her and her sons. They were bringing the vessels to her, and she poured. When the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go, sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live off the rest." The woman and her sons collected jars from the neighbors. You can imagine going around to your neighbor's house. "Can I have an empty bottle? Can I have an empty bucket?" I would go around the neighborhood, collect all the 5-gallon buckets. Yeah? And pouring olive oil into them from their flasks. You see, the olive oil was used for cooking, for lamps, for fuel. So it was very valuable. It was like gasoline or propane. The oil stopped flowing only when they ran out of containers. The number of jars they gathered was an indication of their faith. Could you imagine go get containers and you had a little flask of oil? How many containers, honestly, would you grab? Would you just grab an empty oil container that's like 48 ounces? Okay, I got my oil. Or would you go and gather many, many buckets and 55-gallon drums? Imagine if they did that. Wow. So what they gathered was an indication of their faith. God's provision was as large as their faith. You know, when I go fishing, I take a 3.5-gallon bucket with me, thinking that I might fill it. I mean, Jesus, if I had faith, wouldn't I go fishing with 2 5-gallon buckets? Yeah? I don't have that much faith. I'm honest with you. I take a 3.5. It's my lucky bucket. You know, I ran over my lucky bucket last week. Oh, Al knows my lucky bucket. It's not too big. It's not too small. But it was in my yard, and I didn't see it, and I ran it over. It's in pieces. So I got to go find another bucket. But the oil stopped flowing when they ran out of containers. You know, sometimes we limit God's blessing by our lack of faith and obedience. God is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine. You know, God loves to fill the emptiness. What is in your jar right now? You know, if you think about a container, a bucket, a jar, they begin empty, and they are made for filling. Jars, they don't fill themselves, but they receive whatever is poured into them, whether good or bad. Like you and I, the amount of filling that we receive depends on the amount of level of our emptiness. Now, if I came across to you as like, "Man, I know it all. I got it together. I am smarter than any one of you, and I don't need any help. I am so full of myself," yeah? You think God would, there's no room for God to fill me because I'm full of it. Yeah, you know what I mean, right? But if I came to you, "Man, I got so much to learn. You know, after reading the Bible 10 times, I realized that, man, I just scratched the surface. There is so much for me to learn. So many things to do and so many scriptures to understand." Then I believe God can fill us up more. There's more room for him to fill. Amen? There are times in our life when wave after wave of trials keep pounding on us. Our busy work schedule, our life schedule, they just drain us. And we become empty. Not something we plan, but it happens. The bills pile up. The boss comes and expects you to work another shift. You got to take the children here, take the children there. Shopping, Christmas parties, all these things take a toll on us. And one morning we wake up and we just feel like, how many of you feel like that? You get up in the morning and say, I am calling in sick today. It's raining, and I'm just going to stay home and stay in bed. How many of you felt like that, like Thursday or Friday? The rain, wasn't it like, wow. You know, I would go to the grocery store in the rain, which is miserable, and you know, you just want to stay in bed, but there would be people on the sidewalk waiting to get to their cars. And I'm over there looking at all of them, and I volunteer to, you want me to take any of your groceries to the car? I will do it. I don't mind getting wet. And everybody said, no. I guess I look kind of, do I look shifty? Or like if I get your keys, I might drive away in your car. Do I look that bad? But everybody said, no, I'll take your groceries to your car. I'll get wet. But they said, no. But man, in the rain, oh, this week, I really did feel like just staying home and staying in bed. But I kind of did that yesterday because I didn't have to work. But at the end of the day, boy, I was miserable. My back is sore now, I think, from watching too much football games. It's bad. But Jesus would come and say, he wants to fill this emptiness. This emptiness that we may feel when all these things happen can make us feel vulnerable or lonely, sometimes even angry, maybe even suicidal. But think for a minute, what if at our emptiness, God has you exactly where he wants you? What if we could understand that being empty puts us in a position to be filled with God? So if you are feeling empty in any way, think that God has you right where he wants you so that the most wonderful thing could happen, that he could pour into you. An encounter with God who fills, a God who heals, a God who blesses, a God who keeps his promises. Amen? You know, are your planners so full that there is no room for a date night? There is no room for church. There is no room to meet with and do devotions with others. We need to take our planners and our lives and empty them. Because number one, Jesus loves to fill the empty. He does. Jesus said to them in John 2:7-8, fill the water pots with water. So they filled them up to the brim. And he said to them, draw some out and take it to the head waiter. So they took it to him. In Jesus' first public miracle, he has these men fill these pots and he changes water into wine. A wedding back then was a big social event lasting for 7 days. Could you imagine a wedding lasting for 7 days? Sometimes that's longer than the marriage itself. Yeah, I mean, that's sad. Isn't that sad? We do this thing here in our church when people want to get married. I do this thing called SIMBIS. It's called Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. It's a marriage premarital assessment, and it's wonderful. But his first miracle and the wedding, which is a very important thing, would last for a week. Now, back then it would be a social disaster for them to run out of wine. It would be like having a luau and running out of poi and lumi salmon and poke after like the first 20 people eat. And gotta be some big guys to go do that, yeah? But it was a disaster. And Jesus filled these water pots in his first miracle and turned water into wine. Jesus loves to fill the empty. In Matthew 9:18, while he was saying this, a ruler came and knelt before him and said, "My daughter has just died, but come put your hand on her and she will live." Jesus got up and went with him, and so did his disciples. In the home of Jairus, the synagogue ruler, Jesus finds the emptiness of the loss of a daughter, and he fills this home with joy. In Matthew 9:23, when Jesus came into the official's house, he saw the flute players and the crowd in a noisy disorder, and he said, "Leave, for this girl has not died, but is asleep." And they began laughing at him. But when the crowd had been sent out, he entered and took her by the hand, and the girl got up. Time after time, we read in the New Testament that Jesus fills people. He gives them hope, healing, gives them peace. Are you feeling a little empty today? Maybe a lot empty. You see, things can't fill us like Jesus can. And the thing that Jesus fills us with lasts a whole lot longer than stuff.